Hello. It's Thursday, the 19th of September in the year of our Lord, 2024. You're getting loads out of us this week. Every night with a Diddy update, deep diving into Diddy. Well, that's all parked now until the 9th of October, and we will be covering the lawsuit. Even though no one's allowed in court, we will be doing a nightly update. But back in Blighty, I've got Justin Walker here with me. Known Justin now must be coming up to about 12, 13 years, something like that. He
Something
had a
like
very
that.
odd phone call.
Yep.
He had a very odd phone call late one night from a stranger who gave him advice to look into the Bradbury. He didn't have a clue. He still to this day doesn't know who it was. But in turn, Justin found out about the Bradbury Pound and how the Bradbury Pound was used during wartime very successfully. When did we try and revive the Bradbury, Justin? The first time? What year was that?
Oh, well,
20.
I was told about this in 2012,
And it
and
was shortly after that the column did a piece on it and we were talking
yes,
about
the
it.
column of the piece did a comment, but then people like Nigel Farage didn't want to know. He ran away, and it was quite funny because when I rang his PA in Brussels at the time, and he'd arranged it so that I could actually speak to Nigel, and then suddenly I heard a muffled phone when I rang on the right day at the right hour. And I could just hear, say, "I'm not in. I'm sorry. Just tell him I'm not here." He did not want to talk about the Bradbury Pound. He did not want to talk about it. And all the MPs I've talked to around 20 MPs. None of them, all of them claimed they'd never heard of the Bradbury, nor had they ever heard the Bank for International Settlements. And it soon occurred to me that all our politicians are very ignorant about money creation and money supply. Or they are scared stiff of being seen to talk or to be complicit with the likes of my good self, who basically wants to see money creation and money supply brought back to the people and not in the hands of private, unelected, unaccountable people or megalomaniacs who like to meet in complete secrecy. So it's very simple. The Bradbury Pound, sovereign money, is all about putting money back into the hands of the people, money creation, money supply. Back into the hands of the people.
Indeed. So that's where it all started with the Bradbury. Justin and I have done so many shows over the years, but lots is happening. And Justin also knows a lot about Jacob Frank and the Sabbatoon Frankists, who towards the closing part of the show, we're going to touch on that. But in the meantime, Mark Sexton sent out a video with a letter to Charles. There's no been no response. They they've waited 40 days for a response. This is kind of linking it all to what Justin's going to talk about. So, Justin,
Right.
what the hell's going on?
Well,
Elephants in the room within Parliament regarding the
yeah.
Bradbury, this link to Mark Sexton. I'm going to put it all over to you so you can tell the listeners exactly what the hell's going on.
Okay. Well, Mark's a good man. I haven't spoken to him for quite a long time, but he's coming at this at the right angle. I've been bam hammering away at the Bradbury for, as I said, 12 years. And by the way, if I you hear barking or anything like that, I do apologize, but I've got a puppy, a labradoodle, who has a mind of his own, and if there's one thing he likes, he's upsetting me, because he'll know when I want him to be quiet, he'll then start barking and wagging his tail at the same time.
I've got two dachshunds, so you don't need to tell me
Yeah.
what barking and yapping's like.
I'll just have to hope for the best. No, what's
Go
going
for it.
on at the moment? Well, we've got a new government, and we all know that Tuthir Starmer, or Herr Starmer, is a man of not the people. But he's a man of the Trilateral Commission. He's a man of the World Economic Forum. He's already said that he'd rather be in Davos than dealing with politicians in Parliament. He is their man to bring in the next stage of what's coming. And of course, you look at Communist China, and you pretty well know that is coming. And we're looking at central bank digital currencies mixed with a social credit system. We're going to be locked down, credit carbon, I mean, carbon credits and oh, we all know the big picture that's planned for us. They all try to deny it, but we know it's coming. And Well, obviously, they've got to have us all in chaos. And one of the things they're going to do is bring about economic chaos. So I am expecting a financial collapse. I keep being told, various dates. I don't get too sort of excited. But on the other hand, there appears to be a lot of people saying that October is going to be interesting, October and November. And yes, they are behind when it comes to the central bank digital currencies. So I don't know. It could welcome the collapse. But the most important thing is the government at the moment, as soon as anyone mentions anything about the economy and, of course, about their immediately taking away the heating allowance for pensioners. I know I'm one of them, so I'm losing my 300 quid or whatever it is. And of course, people are attacking them for going for the more vulnerable in society rather than going for big business and everything else. But of course, as soon as they're accused of anything, they say we've got a £22 billion hold to fill. Oh, look what the other government did to us. They left us with a bloody great big hole of debt. £22 billion we've got to find. I mean, we all know that when it came to Rishi Sunak and Keir Starmer, two cheeks on the same bloody ass. And they're all working in cahoots with the globalists, so it's all a load of baloney. But the truth is, if we want to fix that £22 billion hole, all the government has to do is to do what they did on August the 7th, 1914. And that was when the first Bradburys came into the high street banks, and when people were queuing up to exchange their Bank of England notes for gold, because we were on the gold standard then, they were then given instead treasury notes that were debt-free, interest-free, because they were clearly based on the wealth, the labour potential, that's the creativity of the country. And today, our nation is worth approaching £40 trillion. And those two figures have come from the Office of National Statistics. And you could put a fraction of that money, which is debt-free and interest-free, you could have put a fraction of that money into liquidity to be used as money to be helping basically heal our public services, to get our public services working properly, to protect our strategic industries, and to look after our vital infrastructure. And that money, we'd only need to mobilize probably about £1.5 trillion done over a period of 6 to 12 months, and you could absolutely transform this country for the better. Because we're always being told, I mean, I heard a program today, it was on one of the regional news programs. A council is going to be shutting down libraries, it's going to be shutting down on services for children. I mean, one of the things I'm passionate about is what are we doing for our children? When you look at youth centers and all the things to give young people a real positive start in life, to give them a real feel that they're part of something big and good, and serving humanity and stuff. Instead, they're just left to roam the streets with their digital phones clutched to their. I mean,
Well,
it's.
they're also being taught that they can change sex and they're
Oh,
making up
God, yes.
babies
And
and,
but completely muddling up their minds, completely bunging them.
exactly. With
Yeah,
the generation we're going to have
exactly.
of messed up kids
Exactly. And it's
is
all deliberate,
frightening.
all
It's
deliberate.
frightening, and there's more money being sent.
Yeah, out of
There's more money being sent
Ukraine.
to
Oh,
bring
God.
people over into this
Oh,
country.
God. And everything is contrived. My feeling is very simple. We're all human beings. We've all been put into different boxes. Now is the time to get out of those bloody boxes. We're all human beings, and we're all being told what to do by around about 8,000 to 10,000 megalomaniac stroke psychopaths. And that means if it's true that what we're told that we've got over 8 billion on this planet, it's around about one of them, one of the ringleaders for every 1 million of us. But that tiny number of megalomaniacs are making our life a misery for everyone else on the earth. And it's time that we got shut of them. And the only way these people can control us is because they control the world's money. I mean, this is a simple fact. Those who control the money control the world, and they control the world stage and everything that happens on the stage. Once the people take back money creation and money supply from the central bankers from the people who quite simply have absolutely no right at all to create and control our money, and we hand it back to the people who decide, then we can start to have a really good and prosperous and peaceful future for the whole of humanity once money is de-weaponized and is given back to the people. I'm a bit on my hobby horse. I'm on my soapbox. I'm ranting tonight.
No, please go. You carry on, Justin. I'm like completely behind you.
Yeah, well, it's time that everyone woke up. So I'm writing a very, well, actually, it's got to be just a proof. I'm sending out to a few of my friends to have a good look at.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
A draft copy. It's not like an ordinary open letter. It's a letter for everyone to read. It's got lots of pictures, pretty pictures and things like that. I think it's 9,000 words. So it's a bit of a booklet. It's rather than the letter, but it gives you all the evidence. It's got plenty of hyperlinks. It takes you to the absolute evidence that money creation and money supply is in the hands of psychopaths. And we've got to wake up and grow up to the fact we have a responsibility now to take back money creation and money supply from these people. And you know, you don't have to be an economist to understand this. They have mystified money creation and money supply to the point that everyone just walks away. Their eyes glaze over. I mean, you look at the economists, all these big economists and all these schools of thought. You've got the Austrian School of Economics, the Keynesian School of Economics, the New Economics School, and what all the rest of it. None of them, not one of them, actually says money creation and money supply is in the hands of private, unelected, unaccountable people who meet in complete secrecy. So everything that happens in economics is flawed. And nobody, none of the economists, because they're all regurgitating the stuff they were told to at university. I mean, the existing chancellor, Rachel Reeves, she went to Oxford and the London School of Economics. She will have got her first class degree and all the rest of it by regurgitating what she was told to say. So when you see all these formulae and all these graphs and all these things, the first thing you should say is, well, excuse me, what you're showing me is the product of people unelected, unaccountable, meeting in complete secrecy, and they're private individuals, and the people have no say. So excuse me, everything you're trying to tell me is invalid. And it's time that we told all these academics and all these people who like to pontificate and tell us what they think is the truth, it's an absolute load of bollocks. Sorry I've sworn, but I need...
Sorry, Justin.
So there we
go. Wow.
Yeah. So there was a letter going to the Chancellor. She'll get a copy. She probably won't read it. Well, she might, because it's going to all the MPs. I've also written I went up to see a few friends last yesterday, and they said I've written too much. And I do. I do write too much. I know that. But on the other hand, you need to have meat on the bones. But I've also put a skeletal outline letter as well, or at least it's 1,000 words. So it's a 5-minute read as opposed to the one which is a 40-minute read. So, yeah, it depends. People need, though, to look at the flesh on the bones. We need to understand fully what is going on, who's doing it, why they're doing it, and how they're doing it, because that's the only way we're going to defeat these people. And the politicians, well, we're in a good phase at the moment because there's a huge number of politicians, 335 new politicians, who are not yet fully embedded into the Westminster bubble. Most of them will still be worrying what the chief whip says and all the rest of it. But we have got to make them feel very uneasy, because they will soon realize that Parliament does not serve the people. Parliament serves the wishes of the City of London and the big finance.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you know that there's a guy sitting in Parliament, the City Remembrancer, a post that's existed since 1571, and that City Remembrancer is not there for some sort of ceremonial, as we're told. He is there to make sure that politicians don't ask difficult questions about money creation, money supply, and why the hell we borrow money from the private financial sector when taxation is outweighed by government expenditure. Mm-hmm. So all we do is borrow money and increase the national debt. The national debt at the moment is what, something 1.3 trillion or whatever it is. But I do know one thing. The interest alone on this massive national debt that we've got now, the interest payments alone amount to around £7.3 billion a month. So
what the hell?
if you've got a
Oh.
£22 billion hole, that is effectively 3 months worth of interest payments on our national debt. And that national debt has been arrived at by criminals because there is no need to borrow any bloody money at all, because we can create it based on the wealth and the labour potential, the creativity of the country. We need to wake up to the bloody scam that it's what money creation and money supply is. And the politicians are going to be bloody scared by the time we finish, because a lot of us are going to educate ourselves to know this. And by the way, all those people faced with direct taxation, look at taxation. It's complicated, it's invasive, and they're trying to basically get what they can out of you. And if you think about it, the raison d'etre for politicians is deciding on taxation all the time. So, you know, the very fact that we have to suffer all these bloody politicians. I'm sorry, I you know, when I think of career politicians, I cringe.
Isn't it? They're just disgusting.
They are.
They're disgusting. You know, I mean, how many, coming up to decades, Justin, it's a decade, over a decade. We've been trying to get you, you know, you found this. It came on the column, my old radio shows. It went out on the FM. All these years, Bradbury, and it's time for people to wake up.
Oh, yeah. I think
now is the time, though,
I'm
Justin.
I'm on a rant tonight because, as far as I'm concerned,
I love rants.
It's rolling up our sleeves time, and we're not going to take any more bloody nonsense from the House of Commons. I mean, it's like on everything they touch, a common law, they believe that they are beyond common law. They believe that they're supremacy and a fact that they believe that they are sovereign over the people. It's incredible. These people have all got to be put back in their boxes, sharpish. The politicians and the political parties. Political parties need outlawing. We need people who are elected for their service, for their wisdom, and for their humility. We don't want people who are out there to make a career for themselves and to place their greasy paws around things and to get jobs in the city and all the other things. I mean, look at Starmer at the moment. His wife's getting clothes and he gets a suit. I mean, I can't.
It's disgusting. And then there it is. Like Putin, the whole reason it's Boris Johnson's fault. This is the whole thing. They had the deal on the table, as we heard on Tucker, that it was all over until Boris Johnson calls up. Don't do the deal with Russia. NATO, he doesn't want NATO near them. I don't blame him. He's come out. They're satanic. They're paedophiles. I don't want them near. They're crouching. We know what Ukraine's about. The central hub for trafficking, money laundering, Wuhan labs over there. You know, and there's still people where I live in the most beautiful part of the country. Beautiful part of the country by the river, by the sea. English chocolate box, literally. And they've all got the blue and yellow flags on there. Tabletop sale donations going to Ukraine. We've had another assassination attempt on Trump. This dude was over in Ukraine asking Afghanistan and Iran to send people to go to Ukraine to fight alongside the Azov battalion. Insanity.
Yeah, until we take back control of money creation and money supply, these idiots and all these people who pull the strings on the world stage will be allowed to. Once they no longer have control over money, they have no control over the agenda. So this is the bottom line to everything. We take back full control of money creation and money supply, and it can be done in seconds. All it requires is the Prime Minister and the Chancellor of the Exchequer to say from now on, all government expenditure will be based on the wealth and the labour potential creativity of the nation. We are going to do what we did in 1914, and we will continue to do so. And we are withdrawing with immediate effect from the Bank for International Settlements, which is something which, for those who don't know, this is a private, unelected, unaccountable bank that controls 63 central banks, including the Bank of England, the Federal Reserve, and the European Central Bank. It controls well over 97% of the world's money creation and money supply overseas at all. And I will tell you now, but hardly a soul knows about it. I was told by researchers barely 1% of the population of this country knows, has ever heard of the Bank for International Settlements, because it hides behind organizations that people have heard of, like the OEC, the IMF, and the World Bank. Nobody knows about this. And even of that 1% who may have heard of it, they can't tell you what it does. So it beggars belief that we are allowing ourselves to have these people call the shots over what's happening in the world. And quite simply, with immediate effect, we pull out from the Bank for International Settlements, have no more to do with them. We shut down the Bank of England and immediately move everything to the Treasury. But I'll tell you something. I'm going to tell you something now, Lou, but this is very, very important. The power to create and control your own money, we don't leave it to political parties. We don't leave it to career politicians. We've got to, in the Saxon times, they had a thing called the Witan. And the Witan was effectively wise people selected to help the king make decisions. Now, admittedly, they were nobles and what have you, so it's not perfect. But the concept is lovely. The idea of finding people, and we all know people who we see who are full of humility. They want to serve. They're not in it for themselves. They want to do things for what is right. They want to serve. They want to, you know, do, as I said, there are good people in the world, and we can find those people, and you can elect them, still have elections. And we find probably around about 100 people in the country, and we select them and elect them. And these effectively become, if you like, the Treasury Witan. And they will decide how the money, the liquidity that we create from our nation's credit, and how much is needed to make sure, you know, the health service gets what they need, the education, the police, the defense, the infrastructure that needs doing, our communications, transport, and all the other stuff. And of course, our strategic industries like steel making and stuff like that. We've got to make sure that we are a self-reliant nation. We are a prosperous nation and we are a happy nation. But you see, every country in the world will do this. And I'll tell you now, people will not want to get into little boats and go to other countries if every nation in the world embraces sovereign money. That is, creating debt-free, interest-free money based on the wealth of a nation. And when you look at countries like the Congo, where you have slave labor, you know, digging out the rare earths needed for batteries and everything else, if those countries were creating money, and again, they were adopting the idea of wise people, people with humility, people with utter decency, creating and controlling the money rather than ambitious, corrupt politicians on the fiddle, on the make. Once we have decent people taking the helm, we will not have any of the problems that we are seeing at the moment. And all the boats crossing the channel, people don't want to leave the countries where they've been born, where they've been raised. They just want happiness. They want prosperity. They want an ecologically lovely planet to live on. They want to see biodiversity. They don't want cruelty. They want to see humanity at its best. And the only people who don't are the people, this tiny number of people, the 8,000 to 10,000 people in the world, who want an economic system which they can thoroughly control, and they can literally corrupt every, you know, useful idiots into helping them and create all the problems that we see on the news every night. I'm sorry, I get quite passionate about this.
Yeah, I don't blame you, Justin. I feel the same. Now, what about, we're hearing a lot about the BRICS nations now and moving the petrodollar.
Well, I'm going to just warn you about that. This comes from people on the inside who I trust. BRICS is a distraction, because I will tell you now that all those five members, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and the others who are joining, have all got central banks controlled by the Bank for International Settlements. And I am reliably informed by my people who I trust totally that this is a distraction to get people talking to think that something good is happening. It's not. And this is going to lead to the central bank, digital currencies, and everything else. The only way out of this is full-blown sovereign money, where we get rid of the central bank infrastructure that is controlling the world today. And so that you know, that's come from people I totally trust behind the scenes, and we have got good people
Oh, I
behind the scenes.
know, I know.
Many of
I
them are
mean, I'm
quite
still in
angry.
firm believer that we're going to get to the push. The only way people will change is if it starts affecting them. And I truly believe that with there ain't going to, you know, people were saying we were going to get forced in, people going to come knocking at our door and they'd force us into camps. There'd be mandatory vaccines, all of this thing. And I was there, no, that ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. It's not.
People are waking
And
up. I mean, I've
people are
just had
waking up, and
somebody down.
CDCs are not going to wake. They're not going to
No,
happen.
no.
Your smart cities ain't going to happen. But
No.
it's got to go to that point for people to realize. I do think it's all in control. I think it's all in God's hands at the moment.
Well, I'm
And
going to tell you now, I believe we're winning. It's not to
yes.
be complacent, because we're not going to win if people then think, oh, I'll leave it to others to do. No,
Exactly.
everyone in this program, think very carefully about what I'm doing, look for the letter I've written and everything else. And then look at it and say, right, I'm going to help with this. I'll write my own letter. I've got all the bits here. I've got all the information here. I've got all the links. I'll do my own. Sit down, take a bit of time, take a few hours, and write to your MP. Write to the chairman of the local political party that MP belongs to. Write to your
Yeah.
councillor. These are the ones who are trying to put council tax onto you. There's no need for any council tax. Plus, the fact it's unlawful anyway, and we know many other people have proved how unlawful council tax is with all the various things. But let's just concentrate on the fact that there's no need for a council tax, because quite simply, the credit of the nation can take care of all the essential services that local government are responsible for. So we really do need to get to the heart of this. And everyone listening to this program, please, I urge you, take an interest in money creation and money supply. You don't have to be an economist. You do not have to be clever. My God, I'm not clever. I never went to bloody university.
It's
I'm self-taught.
something that's not missing here. It's common sense.
Exactly. And critical thinking. Critical thinking and
Exactly.
common sense. What a wonderful combination, along with the
Yep.
common law. Common law, critical thinking, and common sense. And if we embrace that fully, we can't lose.
And like, you know, with all of this, the common law is great. You know, the free man of the land is all brilliant. And the law is actually very well done in this country, but it is corrupt, and you
Yeah.
can't, you know, you can't use a good system when you've got corruption all around it.
Yeah. As Will Kite says all the time, again, trial by jury and annulment by jury. Any flawed and bad legislation takes second fiddle to the common law, and the common law can strike it down. They can strike down inappropriate rules and regulations passed by politicians. And the sooner we get around to doing this, the better. We've got Article 61, all that side of things. There's lots of things we should be doing to really mobilize the law and common sense and critical thinking. It's all about mobilization now. But the most important of all is telling the government they no longer have control over money creation and money supply if they are going to be in bed with the City of London, the bankers, and the Bank for
And
International Settlement.
sending our money to buy
Oh, yeah.
long-range weapons
Oh,
for
God, yeah.
Ukraine,
Yeah,
who
yeah.
will use it on Russia, and who Russia has blatantly said, if that's going to happen, he is holding us and the USA responsible, which is fine because that they are declaring war. You know, it's.
Well, as I said, people now, and of course, the other thing which I'm a little bit saddened by, and I'm going to be honest with you, and again, I'm urging people to think very carefully about this. And you mentioned at the beginning about the Sabbatean and Frankists and everything else. There is something on my radar which I am saddened about. A huge number of people now are starting to, they call themselves patriots, and they want freedom of speech. They want their streets back, and they don't want Islamists on the streets causing creating chaos. Yes, I don't want any of that. But please, I want you to think very hard about the voices who are calling for you to rise up. And I'm going to name names. Tommy Robinson's not his real name. We know that. But I'm going to warn you now. You remember the Pied Piper of Hamelin? Well, Tommy Robinson, in inverted commas, is the Pied Piper of Tel Aviv. And I'm going to be quite blunt here. Zionism is part of the evil of what is going on in the world today. Nothing to do with Judaism, nothing whatsoever to do with the Abrahamic faiths. This is Zionism,
And this
and
is
I
coming out.
want.
This is what I want to touch on with you, Justin, because
Yeah.
I want you to just give the audience A brief rundown of who Jacob Frank was,
well,
and who the Sabbatean Frankists were.
I will run through. Yes, I mean, yeah, the Sabbatean Frankists were effectively a satanic cult, and they
started
basically,
by Jacob Frank, was it?
Yeah, no, I've got to try and get my facts right here, because it's a long time since I actually did
was it
research on
that,
this.
that he was
But you've got the Sabbatean Frank. Yeah, Frank is the one who was basically the one mobilizing with the Rothschilds, and I'm trying to think of the other, and Weizsäcker, the guy who started the Illuminati. Now, essentially, what we're talking about is a cult that believes the more evil you can do, the quicker you will have access to God. Now, it's completely and utterly warped. Now, if you look at the State of Israel in 1948, how it was founded, it committed acts of appalling evil to have it to be able to create itself into the State of Israel. And I'm going to just give you examples. In 1946, Zionists, paramilitaries, the Irgun, the Stern Gang, Haganah, they committed bombings and atrocities. They blew up the King David Hotel, which killed 90 innocent people. In 1948, they created the Nakba, which was the killing of up to 15,000 men, women, and children in their homes, in their farms, etc., of Palestinians. Now, my father, my late father, was a Royal Marine Commando officer, and he was based in Malta just after the war. He suddenly got a message. His 4-2 commando was to go from Malta to Haifa, and he found himself being part of a big escort of paras and Royal Marines and others to escort all the civilians who were supporting the British mandate in Palestine, and there was an evacuation out of Jerusalem. And my father was one of the last, well, his actual unit was the last ones to leave Jerusalem. Now, he sent some of his men out on patrol. They came upon a farmstead. Only a matter of probably an hour before, Israeli Zionists, I think it was Ergun, it could have been Sturm, Ergun, came to that farm and gunned down in cold blood a mother, a father, and three children. And when my father's patrol got there, there were Palestinian women wailing, crying, and wrapping the bodies ready for burial. Now, I'm sorry, everywhere I look, I hear about Israelis committing acts of vile terrorism. Now, to cap it all, here's one case when we pulled out of Jerusalem, the British mandate had ended, and effectively the first part of the Israeli government was just starting to be formed. The UN sent a special peace envoy to negotiate some sort of agreement between the Palestinians and the Zionists. And this gentleman by the name of Count Foch Bernadotte. And he was a good man. He just wanted to find a peace. He wanted to try and divide the warring parties to keep them apart. He was doing his best, and he came up with a plan. And as he was driving to Jerusalem to see the new Israeli governor to tell him what he was wanting to happen on behalf of the UN Security Council, which, by the way, in 1948 had only just really got started. The UN is not perfect. We know that. We could talk for hours on about the UN. But the UN then was a voice for peace and a voice for trying to find a way out of this. And anyway, Count Foch Bernadotte was in his car, UN car, going to Jerusalem. He was stopped at the checkpoint, and Israeli paramilitary, Zionist paramilitaries, gunned him down. They literally opened fire on his car. They killed him and a French colonel. And so what we've got here is Zionism committing appalling acts of terrorism. Now, in what happened last year, on October the 7th last year, and what Hamas did to 1,200 people is unforgivable. And children and innocent people were gunned down. I condemn that outright. No ifs, no buts. Anywhere where innocent people are murdered and hurt, I condemn it. But what we've never heard from Tommy Robertson and any of his ilk who support him, we've never, ever talked about the fact that Israel was founded on absolute terrorism. No ifs, no buts, it's proven history. Now we get back to the Sabbatean Frankists, we should not be surprised about this, because the Sabbatean Frankists, who effectively control Wahhabism, that is Saudi Arabia. This is the Islam of violence. They control that side of things. They control the Jesuits and the Catholic Church, who create so much mayhem and unhappiness in the world. But they also control, as I said, the Israeli government and Zionism. And it is this source, the Sabbatean Frankists, which is part of the mix of what we might term the black nobility. I mean, you know, as we try and find out ultimately who controls what, how it's all controlled, we know about the black nobility. This is the banking. This is how they started off in Sumer, Babylon, etc. And then they spread across the coast of Africa, and they spread up into Italy through Rome and what have you, and then eventually into Venice and the Venetian bankers. Then they went across to Amsterdam, the Amsterdam bankers, and then across they zipped across in 1688. They came across with William III, William and Mary, the Glorious Revolution, which wasn't glorious at all for the British people. It was only glorious for the bankers. In 1694, the Bank of England was created, and from then on, the national debt. And then the City of London became the power base, the leading power base for the world as regards finance. And I always say to people, the British Empire was not the British Empire. It was a City of London empire, or more accurately, a black nobility empire. And everywhere you look, it's all about exploitation and basically running amok with the weakest in society, and in basically enslavement of all of us. And that we're now being put into a digital prison. The same mindset is trying to enslave us into this digital prison that we can see operating in China. So going back to Israel, I just urge everyone who follow Tommy Robinson, inverted commas, please get him to talk about how Israel was founded. The terrorism use it. He won't talk about it. He has already said he'd fight for Israel rather than Britain. He's already said he's a Zionist. So I ask people, please, don't be taken in. Yes, freedom of speech, absolutely vital. Yes, the grooming gangs, appalling in things. Yes, put them in prison. Don't even let them out. Anyone who abuses children in my books never gets out of prison. In fact, castration, a few other things I can think of. A couple of good bricks and clearing out the earwax at the same time. I can't stand anyone who abuses children, and nor should they. So, you know, but Islamism, I will tell you now, that is something, it is being stirred in the background.
I'm a born-again Christian.
Yeah.
I believe that land was, that was God's chosen people. It was given to him, given to the Jews. God gave that to Abraham, the land. It's too much for me. Is this a spiritual war that's going on? I admit the Talmud and the part of the Frankists, which do come out of part of Ukraine. Mm. These, you know, these people are bad. They have destroyed the Jewish faith and everything else. Yeah. What Hamas did that day in October, and there are people within the truth movement who are saying, no, that never happened. That never happened. It did happen.
I mean, the people, innocent people died, and that's all.
Exactly.
I mean.
And Israel had to retaliate. They could not allow that. There was no reason for that to happen. And they warned Gaza. They said, get out, because we are, you know, we're doing this.
Yeah.
You've got Iran now are funding the Hezbollah, Hamas, the Houthi, whatever. I'm not going to comment on that. I get what you're saying.
I'm believing solutions. With the money creation, money supply, we're talking about solutions. Yeah. The solution to the entire Israel-Palestinian is very, very simple. We de-weaponize religion. In other words, we take out the poison out of the Abrahamic faiths where religion has been politicized. Doesn't matter whether it's been politicized by the Zionists, the Christian Zionists, or the Islamists. Take the politics out.
Absolutely.
And then we call for a new country, a new sovereign country. Now, I don't know, mind what you call it. You could call it Judeo-Palestine. I don't know. That's another story. But it's got to be a country where people of peace and understanding and knowledge and integrity and humility, all the values I was talking about who should be responsible for money creation and money supply, come together. Because Palestine, under the Ottomans, when the Ottomans left, there was a vacuum created. But you had Jews, Arabs, and Christians living in harmony. And I've seen the videos with the evidence of this. There, I mean, the Abrahamic faiths can live in peace and harmony and share and enjoy each other's viewpoints and religions. I went to I'll tell you, back in 1979, I think it was, I was in Assisi at a conference. I was representing the Ecology Party in those days, and I'd just joined them. And it was a coming together of all the religious faiths. There was Hindus there, Buddhists, all the religions of the world were there. And they were there for the environment. They were there for what St. Francis stood for, ecology and biodiversity and looking after our wonderful living planet. And I will tell you now, I'm almost choking talking about it now because it was such a wonderful day. All these people of different faiths talking in total harmony, laughter, a huge amount of laughter and enjoyment. I mean, I'll give you another example. I went to Iran as a government guest to discuss earthquakes because Tehran's on a major fault line. And I was basically discussing how we're going to tackle getting protocols in place so you could speed up a response because Tehran's on a major fault line and two lesser fault lines. And I met the president, President Khatami, and all the others. But okay, putting aside, if you like, the politicians, I also met huge numbers of ordinary Iranian people, and they were lovely, and the hospitality was lovely. They were warm and generous. And you know, people around the world are warm and generous. I have a lot of faith in humanity. I have a lot of faith in the true values of humanity. What I don't have faith with are the people who seek to divide us all the time and put us into boxes and put distractions in the way and everything else. No, I believe there's a fantastic future for humanity, but we've got to stop listening to the propaganda coming from the other side. We've got to stop allowing ourselves to get into boxes and be put into boxes, whether it's political parties, isms, and ologies. Forget all that nonsense. It's about taking back control of money creation and money supply. It is about adapting common law, natural law, so we the people are always in, we are in command of it, if you like. And the most important thing of all is just meeting and talking to people. Because when people do, and I've traveled the world, I've talked to all sorts of people, it's always, people want to invite you into your home. They want to share and talk to you about your family and about your community and everything. That is the future for us. And we don't need politicians. We don't need all these people who seek division. So I'm passionate about this. It is an uprising of the people, real people, not the politicized people who want to make a career out of politics and all these people. And was it Billy Connolly said that anyone who seeks office should be barred from office? Yeah. I feel a lot of sense in that. I'm just in case anyone thinks that I am looking for high office, I've got a model railway to build. That's how humble I am. I'm 70, I'm nearly 70, and I don't know for Mr. Reaper how long before he comes and knocks on my door to take me off. But I will tell you now, my ambition in life really is, apart from keeping on the right side of the wife and the daughter and walking the dog, is building my model railway. I don't want to be spending my time talking about this like I'm talking now. I would just like to think that everybody just embraces common sense, critical thinking, and the common law, natural law. Brilliant. Oh, God, what a rant, eh?
That was really great. You got it all off your chest, though. That was great, Justin. I haven't had to do much. I've just sat back and I leave him to it. Off he goes. Well,
as I said, there's just so much, and I just want people to come together. It's time for coming together, not going off in different things. And beware of all these Pied Pipers, not just Tommy Robinson, inverted commas, all these other Pied Pipers as well.
Pray just for them. That's what I say. Pray for them.
Yeah, well, yeah, why not? I mean, I'm not an atheist. I'm spiritual. And I believe there's a greater source, a greater energy source, a greater being, whatever it is. I know that there's something. And I also know it's in our destiny to win. I don't think for one moment we're going to lose.
God's in control. Oh, no. He's got this.
I genuinely believe that a greater good is in control and that we will win. We are mobilizing. We are genuinely mobilizing. And it's important that we all mobilize with those three things, you know, critical thinking, common sense, common law. And as I said, please, everyone, take time to work on how we can take back full control of money creation and money supply. Because if we do that, the bad people have no chance of doing a damn thing.
Justin, where can everyone see what you're up to? Give us some links.
Well, I will give you a link so you can do a video. Obviously, the Great Rising is what we're trying to do. I also help out the thing called the Holistic Alliance for Real Ecology, because, you know, we've got so many good people who have been sucked into bad science of the, you know, climate change rubbish and all that. You know, we've got, this is the key now. We've got so many good people there who have been distracted by, basically poisoned by stuff that's been done by others for particular reasons, whatever. We've just got to get people back on course. And I'd say, I've always said I'm a green, one of the original greens, a conservationist. I love this living planet we're on, God's creation. I love it. But equally, we have a responsibility to stewardship, proper stewardship. But the most important thing is we all play our part. We're all here to serve. That's it in a nutshell. Every single one of us, we're all here to serve in some way, to do something, to contribute something to the greater good. And you know, selfishness and all that, no. We are all here to serve and to practice humility and love. Let's use that four-letter word, love. Let's love what we're doing. Let's love the people, love our neighbors, love our country, love our planet. You know, it's as simple as that. If we go around like that, the world would be a better place.
Fantastic. Justin Walker, thank you so much for joining me tonight. We will do this again soon.
Thank you.
I will put all the links down below.
Yeah, well, I feel a lot better for that.
Good. Well, thanks so much, Justin. And we'll do this again soon.
Please. Yeah. Lovely, Lou.
Lovely. God bless. I'll get this across to you when it's all up.
Lovely. Okay. Bye.
Thanks, Justin. Bye.
Bye.
So what a show that was. Justin, God bless him. I say focus on God as well and pray, because big things are happening. We're going to be putting some testimonial shows out. We're going to be having a look around what's going on with prophecy, and that will all be coming up tomorrow. We'll have a news show tomorrow as well. Just Jason will be joining us, hopefully. Jason will be there, Kat will be there, myself, Christine and Christy, for a little roundup of our news. If you haven't heard or listened yet to the commentary that we were doing on the whole Diddy case, we went through the court papers two nights ago. Then yesterday we were giving live commentary while the case was going on. Obviously, he has been refused bail for the second time. He was offering to leave 50 million and be tagged and all these others, and the judge wasn't having any of it, none of it. So he has to remain now in jail until his court appearance on the 9th of October, which we will be doing an update at the end of every day on what happens that day in court. And in the meantime, I presume many others are currently being investigated and are probably very nervous. So that's it for tonight. Great stuff from Justin. Have a look at some of the stuff he's doing. If you haven't seen the Mark Sexton video that's going around and his letter to Charles, I ain't calling him King, to Charles, and sending all your household bills off to the Treasury, check it out. I will upload it as a video onto Rumble so people can have a look. That's it. Good night. God bless.